And now on The Naked Scientist to the science of free diving. This is diving as deep as you can, but without any air supply. And here to tell us a little bit more about it is from the British Free Diving Association, Mark Harris. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Chris.
So, just in a nutshell, what is the point of free diving?
It's really to dive down as deeply as you can on one breath of air. There are several disciplines in free diving, but basically the one that most people are familiar with is diving deep by holding your breath.
You don't have any sort of weights or anything to help you get as deep as you need to go?
You do, actually, yes. Because you need to wear a wetsuit, you need to offset that with a little bit of weight. But it tends to be a bit less than scuba divers wear, so it's typically around 2 or 3 kilos or so.
So would you swim down, or would you just rely on the weight of the water and the weight you're carrying to drag you down?
You can do either, because there are different disciplines in free diving. You can either fin down with a pair of fins, or you can go onto what's called a sled, which would have weights on it, very heavy weights, and that would pull you down. And if you do that variety of free diving, which is called No Limits, that will actually take you a lot deeper, because you don't need to use any as much oxygen to get down there.
How deep do people who do this tend to go, Mark?
Well, up until recently, I think the deepest depth was about 150, 160. I think a lot of people...
Is that metres?
Metres, that's right, yes. And I think a lot of people are familiar with Tanya Streeter. She's quite a well-known free diver who was hitting those sort of depths. But more recently, there's an Austrian guy called Herbert Niesch, and he's just gone down to 211 metres on a weighted sled.
Crikey, this is hundreds of feet. I mean, how are people doing that?
Well, it's a combination of things, really. Partly people's physiology, or freedivers' physiology, has adapted. People have found new techniques and that sort of thing. And also the technology that people are using now. For instance, Herbert Niesch uses a special little bottle that he breathes into part of the way down to help him with his equalisation. He doesn't actually use any scuba tanks or anything like that. This is the air from his lungs, but he just kind of reuses it in a plastic bottle, really.
So how do you prepare yourself? If you're going to do one of these dives, how do you get ready to do it?
What you really need to do is 2 or 3 successive breath holds to condition your body. So what a lot of us do is we tend to have a rope in the ocean or a lake, depending where we're doing it, and we just pull ourselves down to about 10, 15 or 20 metres or so, and just do a breath hold there for a couple of minutes and then pull ourselves back up again. And if you do that, you know, over a successive period of time, it helps to condition your body ready for doing the much deeper dive later.
And then what do you do, because whenever I dive underwater, do a few lengths of the pool or something, you find yourself having this irresistible urge to want to breathe, presumably because something's building up in your body. So do you sort of hyperventilate before you do it to get rid of waste gases like carbon dioxide?
Absolutely not. No, certainly not trained free divers. I think people that don't know very much about it have tried that, and certain people that go spearing fish sometimes do that. But it's just about the worst thing you can do. When you hyperventilate, you're blowing off carbon dioxide. And when you do this, it causes vasoconstriction of the veins and arteries in the brain. So it effectively sort of shutting off blood supply to the brain. And it also means that when you've blown off that carbon dioxide, you've tricked your body into thinking that you don't need to breathe. So you get into an area where you've used up oxygen in your bloodstream. So you get this kind of double whammy effect, and it results in something called shallow water blackout. So it's a very dangerous thing, really, and it's one of the main things that we try and suggest to people to avoid.
So slap on wrist to me for even suggesting that I might think of doing that. So,
well, not really. I mean, I think it's good that you did, actually, to alert people to that sort of thing.
So when you're actually diving, Mark, what's actually happening to your body as you descend to hundreds of feet underwater, as these professionals are?
Well, I guess the main thing that you're aware of is the fact that all your airspace is are rapidly decreasing, because the pressure is building up. The volume of air in your sinuses, your lungs and your inner ear, that's all decreasing, and you feel that as you're going down. Once you hit round about 15, 20 metres or so, you can stop finning because you just start sinking. At the same time, you have to equalise your ear spaces, and then once you get down to past about 40 metres, you then start having issues with your lungs, because your lungs are squashed right down. They're really compressed to quite a small area.
Sounds scary. So how do you know when you've reached your limit and it's time to start ascending? Because that must be critical to survival, isn't it?
It is, but for everyone, it happens to be a different thing. I mean, for some people, like myself, in fact, it tends to be strength of the leg. So I know at a certain depth that I'm going to have problems finning against the negative buoyancy to get me back to the surface. But for other people, it will be just not being able to compensate the ears against the pressure. That can be one thing. And for other people, it's just a mental thing. You know, they just start sort of not panicking, but just getting a little bit uncomfortable and not feeling happy with the situation. So it can be, any one of those things, really.
And just to finish off, Mark, how long can you hold your breath for these days?
Well, I was in the swimming pool last night doing some training. I did a 6 minute, 18 second hold, but I've done better than that.
Good grief. So do you practice in the bath? Do you lay in the bath underwater, kind of holding your nose?
This is another one of those slap wrist moments. With freediving, whatever you do, whether it's holding your breath or actually swimming underwater, you never, ever do it alone. So doing it in the bath, first of all, it would be very uncomfortable. But second of all, I'd have to have someone with me to monitor me.
But as I say, baths are always fun if there's more than one person in there at once.
Well, that's true, yes. there is that to think about, and there's the rubber ducks to play with, but you could do it in the bath. It's a little bit tricky. For me personally, if I'm training at home, I tend to do it out of the water and just do dry breath holds.
OK, well, Mark Harris from the British Free Diving Association, thank you very much for bringing us up to speed on that.
OK, thank you, Chris.
Well, that's pretty weird, isn't it? I mean, it's absolutely amazing to think people can do that.
Absolutely. I'm really quite envious.
You do quite a lot of diving.
I do a lot of scuba diving, and I'm actually kind of thinking about training to do some free diving too, actually. I think there's something about being free in the water and not having this tank on your back, which it is amazing. Scuba diving is a fantastic experience, but being free and self-sufficient. And also knowing you can push your body and you can... I don't want to plummet down to 200 metres. I'm not into that kind of extreme stuff, but just hanging around at maybe 20 metres under my own steam and being happy under there, water would be fantastic. A really amazing experience.
When I was in Australia and in the Cook Islands and I went and did a bit of scuba diving, between dives I was doing a lot of just free diving with snorkel and stuff. And in fact, as soon as you swim down to about 10 metres underwater, the pressure is incredible and it begins to really quite hurt. And also you expend quite a lot of energy getting down there and you're knackered. And how these people spend so long underwater, I don't know.
You're
saying 6 minutes. I mean, that's amazing.
I mean, people can hold their breath. If you train yourself, I think that's it. It's being able to teach your body to cope with those kind of lack of oxygen and the pressure. The pressure you can get rid of with your ears by blowing into your nose, clearing your sinuses. But I think it's all about training your body, and it's amazing what the human body can do. I think if you learn how to do things like just calm down, calm your body, as long as you don't panic, I think that's one thing as well.
Sounds like good advice for this programme.
I used to panic. I used to not want to jump off a high diving board because I thought that you would go down so far that you wouldn't have time to come up, from being underwater.
I just didn't like the sensation of falling off a high diving board because it's that sensation of just weightless acceleration is awful. You find you wiggle your legs involuntarily. Do you not do that? It's just sort of plummeting down. You go, it hurts when you hit the water.
I only dive gracefully into the water.
I never dared to go head first. I tried it once off an intermediate level board and gave myself such a sort of headache afterwards.
It's true. You have to hold your head. Yeah.